Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. For episode 58 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about how to use your content to build massive audiences with our guest, Joe Polizzi. Joe is the founder of Content Marketing Institute, a UBM company, and the leading education and training organization for content marketing. CMI is responsible for producing Content Marketing World, the largest content marketing event ever. He's also the author of 5 books, including his latest, Killing Marketing. His third book, Epic Content Marketing, was named one of the 5 must-read business books of 2013 by Fortune Magazine. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Joe to the show.
Mark, thanks for having me. I am excited. I mean, the way you introduced me like that, I mean, how can you not be ready to run through a wall after that introduction? So I appreciate it.
Well, I really can't wait to dive into the depths of this interview. And right before we do that, I like to get some background. So what first attracted you to the whole content marketing scene?
I've been in the industry for 20 years. I started at a large B2B company called Penton Media, and I just fell into their custom content services group, which meant basically instead of our customers at Penton that generally bought a lot of advertising and trade show booths and those types of things, we were creating things like custom magazines, custom newsletters, and then into blogs and social media webinars and podcasts. So we were the group that tried to work with companies and help them figure out what their story was and how they could build an audience, which was much different than what most companies were doing at that time. This is back in 2000, 2001. And then in 2007, I got the entrepreneurial itch and I said, I think this content marketing thing is going to be big, and launched what became Content Marketing Institute in April of 2007. And we really took off in 2010. And as you said, the event happened in 2011. And I love the practice of content marketing because it's the only type of communication, the only type of marketing where you're actually trying to deliver value that has nothing to do with the products and services that you're selling. I'm just trying to give you really good information or entertain you in some way to build a loyal relationship with you. And then if I do that really well, hopefully you'll buy more of my products and services. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways to market, but if I'm going to choose one, I'm going to choose content marketing.
And I really love that dynamic of content marketing where the focus is definitely on the value. And we're going to be tackling content marketing so much in this interview. But before we could think about marketing the content, we have to take that step and create the content first. And I feel like people, they create content, but we have to be consistent and frequent with our content production. So how can we create this amazing content and be able to publish it at this frequent and consistent pace?
Well, I think the first thing most entrepreneurs, most small businesses that start, they just start creating content. And for the most part, it's like everyone else in their industry. It's like all their competitors. And they'll start telling stories that have been covered 100 times by other people. And the issue that we found, I mean, consistency, you're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons why companies fail. But probably the biggest reason is we're not telling a differentiated story. We're not creating content that's truly different, that's going to break through all the other clutter that's out there. We call this, in my previous book, Content Inc., we call this the content tilt. Is there an area of little to no competition on the web where you actually have a fighter's chance to break through? That's where I would start. I mean, we sort of start with, well, what's our audience pain points? Where do I have the authority to create this content? And then that bubbles over into, am I truly creating something that's different? And if I do this, can I actually be the leading expert in the world on that topic? And I don't think enough people think about that. So I would spend, anybody listening to this, I would look, and if you've got 10 or 15 or 20 different competitors sort of talking about the things you're talking about, you're probably not niche enough. You probably have to get to a point where there's like 3, 4, or 5 media companies, bloggers, influencers, whoever your competition, whatever it is. so that you can get to a point where you actually have a chance to break through. Because most entrepreneurs and small businesses that I know, including when we were starting in 2007, you don't have a huge promotion budget. So we can't advertise our way for our content to really, really make it, because we just don't have the funds. So you've got to be really smart. You've got to focus on a niche audience and how you can deliver a niche message to that audience before you get into all the other stuff, like where we're going to put it and how consistent and how frequent we're going to be.
And I really love the idea of utilizing the content tool to really pick a place where there's a lot less competition, so you can truly stand out and speak with a voice different from the voices around you. And I know you've seen a lot of content marketing strategies get implemented. You've written a lot of books that have a focus on content marketing. So with that in mind, with content marketing plans, which obviously planning is really important to bridge from where you are now to reaching that level of success, what do you see as some of the essentials to including within a content marketing plan?
So obviously what's your goal? Why are you doing this in the first place is the place that you need to start. But what I like to focus on and what we talk about a lot in the new book is if you can build a loyal and trusted audience, you can generate 10 different kinds of revenue. I mean, that's why we're doing this, right? We believe that anybody listening to this, you actually want to derive revenue from the content that you create. What's the best and easiest way to do that? The best and easiest way to do that is actually build an audience. So if you are a business that has, let's say, 5, 6, 7 different type of personas, or what you can call them, buyers, gatekeepers, influencers, we want to start with just one. So we really want to make this simple. So we're going to start with just one particular audience, and we're going to start talk with their pain points specifically. And then as you figure out, okay, that's my strategy, I'm going to do this. I want to sell more of these products and services. I'm going to build this particular audience. And then we go to an area where we call it building the base. So you're going to say, okay, well, I'm going to tell these types of stories. Let's say that you're going to, I'll use my, Ann Reardon's a great example. She's an entrepreneur out of Sydney, Australia, and she started creating food content. And what she did differently from everyone else out there, instead of just doing the regular, oh, we're going to do videos of food and we're going to do recipes and it's going to be great, just like Tasty does and a lot of other people create these videos, what she focused on is, I'm going to do videos around impossible food creations. So she did things like, how do I make a Snickers bar that's 5 pounds and it's massive and people just would gasp at it when they see it? Or how do I make a perfect replica of an Instagram logo and put it into a cake? These are the types of impossible food creations that she did. So that was her content tilt. That's what separated her from everyone else. Then you go and you say, okay, well, how did she build that base? There's 4 key things. So this is the core of your content marketing strategy. This is what you want to think about. So the first step is, what's my content type? Is it audio? Is it video? Is it textual? Is it imagery? And what you want to do when you're starting this out is you want to focus on one. What a lot of entrepreneurs do is they'll say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do a blog post, and then I'm going to repurpose that blog post into a podcast, and then I'm going to take the podcast and do a video and all this other stuff. Actually, that's not a winning formula. What you want to do is focus on one. If you look at all the great examples of media companies since the dawn of time, they started focusing on one content type. Then you go into one key platform. Is it iTunes? Is it YouTube? Is it my Blogger website? Is it Instagram? Whatever. And then you go into that consistency that you talked about. Consistency is more important than frequency. So what I want to do, let's say that you pick a blog as your platform, and you're like, well, I'm going to blog 2 times a week. And I'm going to say, well, no, you're not going to blog 2 times a week. You're going to blog at 7 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday and 7 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday. And you're going to keep those times until the data tells you differently. And you might do that for 12 months. And then you go to the 4th step, which is longevity, which is, this is a marathon and not a sprint. It takes time to do this. Generally, to monetize an audience, it takes between 12 and 18 months. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I love content marketing, Joe, I want to try this. And you said, I've got 6 months. What can I expect? I would say probably not much. I mean, yeah, you can get some good qualitative feedback. You can start building your subscriber base. but you probably won't be able to monetize that for 12 to 18 months. And when we look at all the examples and all our research at Content Marketing Institute, that's what we found. So it's what, pick a content type, pick a content platform. You need to consistently deliver over time. And that is how this strategy works. And of course, then you can integrate it into everything else that you're doing from a traditional marketing standpoint. But if you want to build an audience, that's the plan that you want to execute.
Joe, thank you for sharing with us a lot of the different things that we should include within our content marketing plans. And one of the things that you definitely hit it on the head where people are thinking, oh, I want to, like, where's the money from the content marketing? Like, how can I generate revenue from creating this great content and then promoting it? So with that in mind, how are we able to turn our content production and marketing into business growth and ultimately revenue?
Well, so it's all about the subscriber. So of course we can get into details like, oh, where in the funnel, and I want to move them to conversion and all that kind of stuff. Like we were talking before the show about the hustle, right? Okay. And we're going to convert all these people, and that's all fine. And a lot of people have different ways to look at it. The way that I look at it is I want to build the most trusting and the most loyal audience in the industry that I'm in. So that means building subscribers, specifically email subscribers. And when we look at the entrepreneurs that are creating these amazing media platforms, even if they're creating them on YouTube or Instagram, ultimately what they're doing is they're converting those subscribers on those other platforms to email subscribers. And once you get email subscribers that actually will give you the correct email address because you're giving them amazing content and they'll open up your emails, that's when you start monetizing that. So you've built some kind of a platform and you might say, okay, well, what are the different ways I can monetize that? So let's say that you are a B2B company and you just got to 5,000 email subscribers and you're like, okay, I feel good about it. I feel I can start monetizing that. Well, where do you start? Well, the first thing you might do is you say, well, I'm going to sell sponsorship to my email, or I'm going to sell advertising and sponsorship to my podcast or on my website. So that's usually the lowest hanging fruit, is some kind of advertising sponsorship of somebody that wants to reach your audience, because you built a really amazing audience and you can sell advertising and sponsorship to that. What other entrepreneurs are doing, they're saying, oh, okay, well, these people, they really care about this topic. Let's do an event. That event might be a virtual event online where you get people to pay or for free, and then you get some kind of a sponsored virtual event series or webinar series. You could do that. What we did at Content Marketing Institute is we created an event called Content Marketing World. First year, we shot for 100, 150 people. We ended up getting 600 people there. Now we get between 3,500 and 4,000 people to the event, and it generates most of the revenue and profit for the organization. So that come in handy. You could also say, look, this is a really important initiative to the industry. Let's do donations. Let's do a Kickstarter. Let's do a Patreon. Let's just put a donation tab on my site. Maybe people will donate to the cause. So those types of things that you can think of. You could sell premium content. If you go to Digital Photography School, Darren Rouse, who started this company, he's an entrepreneur. He started that platform. He generates most of his revenue through premium content. So he sells books and eBooks between $5.99 and $50 a piece. And that's how he generates multi-million dollars in revenue. So those are the types of things that you can start to sell, just like a media company does. Then you go to the outside tier. Well, what are some traditional content marketing ways that we can derive revenue from building an audience? And we could create products, and we could actually sell products. So think about Brian Clark and copyblogger.com, and he started a blog and he now has over 200,000 email subscribers, and 99% of his revenue comes from those email subscribers, and he sells software as a service, content management system basically is what he sells. So he does it through products. Maybe it's services. So if you take YouTuber like Matthew Patrick, he does a YouTube series called Game Theory, and he built over 8 million subscribers on that channel. He launched a services company called Theorists Inc., and they do consulting for companies like YouTube, and he works with influencers on YouTube. So he built an entire services company. Or maybe you're doing something like I want to build more loyalty and retention. I want more people to buy my stuff over and over and over again. Well, that's, you know, one of the greatest examples in history. That's John Deere created the Furrow magazine in 1895. And now they are the largest media company in the farming industry. And they're not even a media company. 1.5 million subscribers, 40 countries, 14 different languages. So these are the types of things that you can start to think about and monetize as long as you have a audience that actually wants to receive your content on a consistent basis. That's the hardest part. And then once you do that, like at a Content Marketing Institute, we have 15, 16 different ways we drive revenue for all the things that we just talked about. We sell products, we sell services, we sell training, we sell advertising and sponsorship opportunities, we do sell events. So those are the types of things that can happen that can take you from like our first year. We barely did hardly anything in revenue because, as I said, it takes time to build that loyal audience. And then by 2015, we were a $10 million company. So, but it all happened because of that loyal relationship with our audience.
Joe, thank you for sharing with us all these great opportunities that we have to turn our content production and marketing into business growth that leads revenue and leads to revenue. And one of the debates that I hear a lot, and I would love to hear your opinion on this, is some people say content is king. Other people say content marketing is king. And you can't do marketing unless you have the content. But if you have the content but don't do marketing, no one ever hears about it. So instead of asking you which one deserves the crown, I'm going to ask you, do you spend more time creating content or marketing it?
In the beginning, we spent much more time marketing the content because we didn't have the audience. And that's my recommendation to most people. If you're just starting out, or you have a very small audience, or not what we would call a minimum viable audience, you need to spend a portion of that money that you have, the resources that you have, or maybe you're just, it's time and hustle, whatever it is, in building relationships with influencers and actually getting that content out there and promoted. So when I started the Content Marketing Institute blog in 2007, I blogged about two or three times a week, but most of my time was spent building relationships with influencers, putting together lists of influencers in the industry, putting together research programs that integrated other media companies and other influencers so they'd start paying attention to our content. They would start sharing our content. And then through all that, we started to build an email database, an audience of subscribers, and then we were able to not spend as much time on that influencer marketing, not having to advertise as much on Facebook and Twitter and those other things, because we had our own promotion database right there. It's the subscriber list. And so that's where, if you're starting, I would say go 50% creation, 50% promotion, or even 30% creation, 70% promotion. And then you can flip that to, let's say, 70% creation, 30% promotion when you start to build an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you.
Joe, thank you for sharing with us your insights on whether we should create content, market it, like how we should devote our time towards those areas. And when you mentioned some of the tactics, I mean, Facebook ads is one of the best tactics out there. It's also one of the most like well-known tactics. Like, you could do this to get more traffic if the ad spend works out for you. But what do you see as a rarely utilized but powerful tactic for growing a content brand?
Research. And I don't even have to think twice about it. Whatever you're doing, whatever industry you're in, what you need to do is, where is there a question that your audience has where they would actually like numbers associated with it? So for us, you know, obviously Content Marketing Institute, we wanted to do like, what were marketers doing when it comes to content marketing? How many of them were doing content marketing? How many of them were B2B or B2C or nonprofit? How much money did they spend on it? How was it successful? Those types of things. And nobody did any kind of research program. So in 2008, we started a research program. And we did our annual benchmark study every year, and we have more people linking to that research than anything else that we do. It's something silly, like 50,000 sites are linked to that research project that we have. And that's why if you type in content marketing or content marketing research, that's why we always come up at the top, because everybody's linking to our page. So I would say, is there something and where you can gain credibility? I mean, do it like a real research program. If you need to hire a researcher that shows you how to do this, that's fine. If you need to partner with a media company, which is what we did when we had no credibility when we started, I'd absolutely look at creating some kind of a research program. You could do it in a PDF or a PowerPoint or whatever, make it presentable, could present it on a webinar. You could sell sponsorships to different portions of the reports. You could do lots of things. But the important thing is to actually get that research out there for something that your audience really, really craves. If we want to call it link bait or you want to call it, clickbait, whatever you want, it's all those things, because there's nothing like amazing research that's going to put you as the most credible resource in the industry.
I want to point something out to Breakthrough Success listeners. I asked a very open-ended question and Joe had an immediate answer and he didn't even have to think twice about it. So research is something that you should definitely be utilizing more of to come out with content that's going to provide more value.
Amen.
That's it. So, I mean, thank you for providing with us that really amazing underutilized tip. And to transition a little bit, we were briefly talking about the media company. And in your latest book, Killing Marketing, you suggest that we transform all or part of our marketing operation into a media company. So I was wondering if you could share with us how to make that transformation and what it would look like.
So, I mean, I have, if you're listening to this and you're an entrepreneur and you're a small business, and usually what happens is you have this amazing idea for a product. And like I did when I launched my company 10 years ago, and you're like, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And what you don't realize as an entrepreneur is that usually that's not the right product. Usually it's something else. You're going to pivot at some point. Hardly anyone ever gets it right. Even Zuckerberg didn't know what he had with Facebook, and he had to move things around. So everybody always sort of changes. What we believe is that you could actually start this thing or modify what you're doing right now and just build that loyal audience. And once you do that, that's your business model. That becomes your business model. So if you deliver regular content to a group of people and you listen to that group and you understand that group better than anyone else, and let's use Brian Clark and Copyblogger as an example. So it's sort of make it real for everyone. So in 2006, he thought that there wasn't enough content for marketers around online copywriting and really getting found in search engines, but thinking about how you're going to write copy and headlines and those types of things. So in 2006, he started blogging 5 times a week around this concept, the copyblogger.com. Didn't monetize it at all, didn't have a product or service, just started to deliver really valuable content to this audience of mostly small to medium-sized marketers. Over 19 months, he just kept doing that over 19 months and getting people to opt into his e-newsletter. And he was able to get over 100,000 opt-ins over that time. Still didn't have a product that he was selling. And then he's like, wow, we could actually start to sell something. What do we sell? And he started to look at all the feedback from his audience. And he started to talk to them on a regular basis. Like, what's your pain point? What do you think we need to offer? And they told him. The audience will absolutely tell you. They will tell you what they would give you money for. And they said, we would like some training. We'd maybe go to an event. But we're really having challenges with our content management system. Is there some things you could help? We really need these SEO tools. Can you really help with that? Created a platform called Rainmaker. He did all these things, monetizes his audience in 5 or 6 ways. And today he's one of the fastest growing software as a service companies on the planet. And he didn't start with that in mind. He started with, I'm just going to build this audience because they really need this information. And I'm going to be patient enough to wait and they will tell me what they want to buy. And that's how it works out. So basically, let's go to Killing Marketing, the book. That's all we're talking about. We're going to talk about how you can get through all the barriers to doing that, how you can make that happen. And then once you do that and build that audience, and we'll tell you all the different ways to do that. And we've shared some of it on this episode as well. And then we'll get into, okay, well, then how do we go ahead and monetize that? And how could that be a profit center business model, however you want to look at it? If you're a small business or entrepreneur, this can be your market. This could be your go-to-market business model. That's all you have to say. If you are a larger company, this might be how your marketing department would function. Instead of doing more and more interruptive advertising and press releases and trade shows that may not be working, you could actually start to generate your own budget from this type of activity and build an audience. And we're seeing companies like Pepsi and Mondelez and Amazon, of course, they're all doing this right now. But as small businesses, we have the opportunity to do the same thing.
Joe, thank you for sharing with us how we can make that transformation for ourselves. And you struck a really key point, which is building that email list and being able to engage with an audience. And I'm wondering, how do we continue to engage with our audience when they first visit our content? Like, getting the visitor is easy to a degree, but then getting them to be a subscriber is harder. And then getting them to be an engaged subscriber is even harder. So how do we, like, once we get someone viewing our content, do we keep them engaged over a very long period of time?
So yeah, it's not that is a great question, and it's not easy to do. But if you're just looking at how most companies do it, the first thing is, of course, you need their email address, and you need the right email address, and not like MickeyMouse@gmail.com. So you have to have enough value in the content that they're willing to subscribe to something that they can't get anywhere else. So let's say that you do a blog and they come to your blog content. And they're like, I really like this. And then you've got your calls to action are not to your product. Your calls to action are to subscribe to something that they're going to get on a regular basis. So, and you have to give them some kind of value added thing. Maybe that's the research report we were talking about. Maybe it's some kind of ebook that they can't get anywhere else. But if they subscribe and they join your list, they're going to get this piece of value, and they're going to exchange that value for their email address. And then once you do that, you have to make sure that the email newsletter you're sending out is truly valuable. And we find that, like, when I give, I'm going to give one tomorrow, actually, a presentation. We're going to talk about email newsletters. What I find with most entrepreneurs and small businesses that have e-newsletters, they're not really and truly differentiated and valuable. So you have to really take an honest look at the email newsletters you're sending and say, are these truly valuable? Is this an email newsletter that I would want to engage in? Is it just something where I'm pinging them on a regular basis? I'm not delivering value. We had the same problem at Content Marketing Institute. We just were sending out basically blog abstracts of what we were doing during the week. And our open rates kept going down and down. And we're like, well, what's going on? And we realized we don't really have anything that's truly valuable that they can't get somewhere else in this e-newsletter. So what we did is we have a column that I write, or Robert Rose, our chief strategist, writes, that you can only get by subscribing to the e-newsletter. So it's sort of a state of what happened during that week. And so then our open rates started going up, and we started to get more subscribers, and people started to respond to us in email and on social media about what we were writing in the column. And those are the types of things that you have to think about. So I would say, First of all, make sure your calls to action are to whatever you want people to subscribe to. And then whatever you're delivering them on a subscription basis needs to be truly valuable, differentiated, consistent. If you can do those things, you're 99% of the way there.
Joe, thank you for sharing those insights on how we can keep people engaged with our content over the long term. And we still have a little more left to go in this interview, but it's very apparent that, I mean, you've committed so many years to content marketing, the Content Marketing Institute, obviously with the content marketing world. And I mean, the blog and all the resources you provide are just, like, so amazing, to the point where some people only need that one resource. But I bring this up intentionally because you're obviously trying to up your game as well and acquire more knowledge. So some people, while they can just say, oh, I'll just go to Content Marketing Institute to get my knowledge, where is Joe Polizzi going, and where is he looking to learn more about content marketing?
Well, to be honest with you, we have a weekly podcast, as you know, that we do called This Old Marketing. I do it with Robert Rose. And every week we try to figure out what's going on in the marketing industry and we analyze it. So we force ourselves into that education. So what I'm looking at is I'm looking at articles from the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the Guardian, the New York Times, Ad Age, Ad Week, Digiday. I mean, those are all the, I love Seth Godin. I mean, I'm looking at those types of resources. And what we do is we pick the best of the best and then Robert and I talk about them. So what was interesting is that we just used to do that and we didn't have a show. Now we actually created a show out of it that we can have more engagement with our subscribers and I get to educate myself at the same time. So those are the types of things that we do. And what's probably the most fascinating to me is once you build a relationship with our audience, our podcast audience specifically, they usually send us all the articles that we need to pay attention to during the week. So it's really amazing to have an audience that gives you all the right places to look for about what's going on in the industry. So it makes it a lot easier. So those are the types of benefits that happen when you build an audience that really cares about you.
Wow, that is a really big hack to always staying up with the trends. I mean, that could not have been pictured out any better with you being able to force yourself to stay up to date and then getting your audience in that mindset as well. So that is truly an amazing concept. And I mean, throughout your whole time in content marketing, I'm sure though you faced some challenges along your journey. And I'm wondering if you could share with us one of the bigger challenges that you faced along that journey and a powerful lesson you learned along the way.
Oh, sure. It's easy. It's always the same one because I almost quit. This is in 2009, September 2009. And our initial product that I came out with, that I left my executive position at Pent Media and started this company, was basically a lead generating program for agencies, specifically content agencies, because I came from a content agency and I'm like, oh, it's really hard to get business and maybe we'll create that. So that's what we started to do. And I thought I fell in love with this product. I thought it was great. And we matched up like 1,000 products and some of the or projects with agencies. And it's sort of like the eHarmony for content marketing, if you think about it that way. So that's what we were. And it was working really well, but the revenue wasn't coming in. And we were definitely weren't profitable. We were bleeding. And in September, we lost one of our really good customers. And I felt really sorry for myself. And I actually thought I'd have to go get a real job. And I was really depressed. And I'm like, why isn't this working? Our traffic's going up. Everything's going well. Well, what I realized is that we created a product that I fell in love with, but that only about 1% of our audience at any one time could actually use. It was a terrible product, and it wasn't a product that our audience actually wanted at that time. And so after feeling sorry for myself for a couple of weeks, I started to go through all the feedback. So go back to 2009. I'm going through emails and social media posts of all the feedback that our audience had been giving us. And what I realized was, is they weren't asking for the product that we were offering. They were asking for things like, oh, Joe, I need consulting in my organization. Can you help? I needed an ongoing advisory. Can you help? We would really like to meet people who are dealing with the same things we're dealing with. Is there some kind of event that we could go to? I need buy-in from my boss. What can I do for that? All things that revolved around, wow, we could do things like an educational site and training and an event and those things. And that's when I stopped focusing on this product that I really thought was awesome. And I started to create products that my audience was asking for. And once we did that, that's when Content Marketing Institute was formed in May of 2010. So about 6 months after I was really feeling sorry for myself. And then Content Marketing, Chief Content Officer Magazine was born in January of 11. Content Marketing World was born in September 2011. And we started to, and then we became, we were on the Inc. 500 list the next 3 years. I mean, we were just rolling. And that's where we became, you know, the $10 million plus company in just a few years because we had this loyal audience. So my learning is, don't fall in love with the product, fall in love with your audience. And if you listen to your audience and fall in love with your audience, they will tell you exactly what they will buy from you.
Joe, thank you for providing us with that powerful lesson. And Obviously, persistence played a big role, as it does for all of us. And now you have acquired a lot of content marketing insights through research. And I'm sure part of that research has included reading several books, obviously writing a few as well. But yeah. What are three great books that you can think of that we should be reading right now?
I would say, if you have not read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which is from the 30s, you're missing out on it. Have you read it?
I have read it.
Okay, so you know, it's a little bit chauvinistic because it was written a long time ago, but it is must reading for any person that's interested in growing a business or entrepreneurship. So I would definitely look at that. I like Seven Habits from Stephen Covey. Great book. And then, you know, basically if you get into, anything by Mitch Joel is fantastic. Anything by Jay Baer, anything by Ann Hanley, David Meerman Scott, those are all great books that are really, really going to help you, you know, take your business to the next level. But I'm a big fan of sort of the older books like Think and Grow Rich, because that's the one that made the most difference to me. That's when I started writing down my goals and reviewing those goals on a regular basis and taking that kind of advice. And then sort of throughout all that stuff sort of built and research into the past and what was really successful for content creators and what was not successful, and that sort of built the business from there. But you can't go wrong with Think and Grow Rich.
Joe, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. And for this final question, we've been sprinkling it throughout this interview, but where exactly can Breakthrough Success listeners find you on the web?
I'm at Joe Pulizzi, P-U-L-I-Z-Z-I on Twitter. It's the best place to track me down. And then anything on me, joepulizzi.com. And then the book is killingmarketing.com.
Joe, thank you for sharing all of your great insights for Breakthrough Success listeners. If you want the show notes and all of those links, you can head over to markgaberti.com/E58. Joe, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Mark, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Potential today.
Want me to mention you in a future episode? All you have to do is leave a quick review for my podcast on iTunes and email me, mark@markgaberti.com. I'll then mention you and your website in a future episode. You can leave that review by heading over to markgaberti.com/iTunes.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberti. For more insights, head on over to markgaberti.com.